This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome to our GSP Ace of the Day. We have our first official tally for you at the start of the show on how we've done through 3 days of picks at the 2021 US Open. Overall, we've recorded 7 victories, 8 losses, 5 outstanding futures bets. We are up 0.16 units through the first 3 days of the action in New York. Of course, we are not retiring on that sum. We've got some work to do to get to our goals, eclipse our marks at Wimbledon. Was 29-20 there. That means I need a 60% win percentage or higher to beat our Wimbledon results. I was up 11.18 units at Wimbledon. 0.16 is not going to get the job done through 3 days. So while we've had some momentum on our side, winning days in 2 of our 3 shows, we also yesterday incorporated game spreads for the first time. Both of those spreads delivering, Muguruza and FAA both cover. That is a very relevant data point for us moving forward. We also got a win from underdog Daria Kasatkina. 3-set win for her over Marketa Vondrousova. By the way, you want to hear recaps of each day's action, hop on over to the Mini Break podcast feed, where of course we are recapping every day at the end of each day. But again, 3-2 overall on day 3, up 0.16 units overall. We were up 0.18 on day 1, down 0.18 on day 2, now up 0.16 on day 3. It's time for us to get going now as we enter the second half of round number 2, because of course, the opportunities become more limited as we progress through this tournament. First round, second round, third round, that's when we want to rack up margins. As I said, let's get going now. In case this is your first time listening to the show, what I'm going to be doing, offering my selection of picks using the odds from our friends at DraftKings. I'll go through my favorite money line selections, share the over-under spreads I'm looking at, name my favorite parlays, of course, as well. As always, give you all the extensive preview information you need to make your picks, put some money in your pocket, and maintain your status as the most well-informed, best-educated tennis fan in the business. With all of that said, let's get into it. Here are my picks for day 4, my GSP Aces of the Day. We'll start with the money line picks. I should have also mentioned, if you want to see these picks, you just can't follow along this quickly, you want to see them listed out, head on over to our website, crackrackets.com. You can find them all listed there each and every day when these podcasts are posted. You look at the money lines I have my eye on today. Obviously, when you're doing an individual money line bet, you don't want to take a too heavy favorite. And there are a lot of heavy favorites on the men's side in particular tomorrow. Guys like Zverev and Djokovic and Berrettini and Jannik Sinner, they are all heavily favored over their respective opponents. But even on the women's side, I mean, again, Pegula looks like she's going to be a heavy favorite tomorrow. You look at the other top seeds in action, Ashley Barty, heavy favorite. Well, not too heavy of a favorite, but certainly a favorite tomorrow against former World Junior number 1 Clara Tauson. You look at some of the other matchups, though, again, just a little bit lopsided to make individual money line bets on after such a parity-filled round 1. I suppose it makes sense that we're seeing this in round number 2, but, you know, Kontaveit Teichmann, that's a minus 135, plus 110 spread. I don't know who's winning that match. Tomjanovic, Petra Martic, same deal. Do you ever know which Petra Martic is really going to show up? Barty minus 950 just doesn't make sense. Bencic minus 1800 doesn't make sense. Swiatek even minus 600. Pegula, as mentioned, minus 1200. You know, none of those numbers are too appealing. That said, there are some juicy ones on the board, folks, tomorrow. So you look at the ones I have my eye on. Samsonova -190 in the parlay range, but I kind of like that bet individually. I just think Samsonova is going to beat lucky loser Hreet Minin tomorrow. -190 is a little bit high, but there are some spread numbers I very much enjoy. So keep your eye, or keep that match, I suppose, in your thoughts. You move now some of the other ones. You know, given recent form, I understand if you'd want to lean Tomjanovic at -125 over Petr Martic. That's a stay away for me, but certainly I can understand the case. Kerstea's made third round at every major this year, but Shelby Rogers' best on a hard court is better than Sorana Kerstea's at this point. So to get Shelby at -110 feels like some value there. But there are two American men's underdogs that I'm going to go with for my aces of the day. I want to start with a match I was at. I have seen underdog tomorrow, Mackie McDonald, your 2021 City Open finalist, 2021 Australian Open round of 16 participant, beat Kei Nishikori in the past month. He beat Nishikori at the 2021 City Open. You look at that result for Mackie, was a 6-4, 3-6, 7-5 match that Mackie was in control of from start to finish. And I know he lost that second set, but early on in that second set, he had a bunch of chances on the Nishikori serve. And then all of a sudden, Nishikori raised his level and then, you know, kind of stole that second set. But it just felt like that third set, you know, again, it was when, not if, Mackie was going to get the break. He ultimately does 4-7-5. Now, of course, he ends up losing in the final to Jannik Sinner. But you look for Mackie McDonald of late, I just think he's been the better player than Nishikori. And I can give you some metrics to prove as much. You look right now in the overall ELO ratings, Kei Nishikori, obviously given his past performance, he's at 16, Mackie McDonald at 63. You look at the 2021 specific results though, Mackie McDonald at 43, Nishikori right now currently all the way, currently at number 11, interesting, at 22 and 15. That feels a little bit like an outlier, but you look at, you know, the numbers in terms of their race spots to the race in the year on finals, how many points they've accumulated this season. Mackie McDonald 33rd, Nishikori 35th in that metric. Of course, for Nishikori, what's giving him the big boost in the ELO ratings is the fact that you look for him, you know, round of 16 for him at Roland Garros. He goes to City Open, makes the semifinals, gets wins over Bublik, over Nori, over Lloyd Harris, who had just beaten Rafa. That's obviously going to help him in the advanced metrics in Tokyo. You know, beats Ivashka, Rublev before bowing out to Djokovic in the quarterfinals. It's been a lot better this year after having dealt with so many injuries over the past two, three seasons for both of these guys. Obviously, different injuries, but that was the story of late. No one has questioned their level. It's a matter of health, and now look for both of them, they are trending in the right direction in terms of health. The difference being, Mackie McDonald's playing the best tennis of his career right now. Kei Nishikori is below his prime levels, like, quite frankly, and while I wouldn't say he's, you know, he's on the downslope of his prime, I don't think he's quite out of it, because I do think he's capable of playing two extraordinary sets and sneaking out a third set. And, you know, again, I think he's closer to the prime of his career than he is to the end of his career, assuming his body allows him to perform. I'm talking strictly from a performance standard, but you look for him this season, you know, Nishikori's hold percentage, his career average 80%, he's down to 75.8. that number amongst top 50 players, 75.8, would be good for 40th amongst top 50 players right now. You look for Nishikori in terms of his break percentage here in 2021. His break percentage currently sitting at 24.9. That number a little bit better, 24.9, would be good for a top 25 clip amongst top 50 players right now. But Mackie, quite frankly, has been a little bit better than that as a returner. You look for Mackie McDonald here this season, break percentage for him 20.4, but you look for him in hard court matches, that number for Mackie jumps up to 26%. You look for Mackie McDonald as well, his hold percentage here on the year, and this has been the big improvement for him, 80.9%. Obviously, that's better than Nishikori's, and these are two guys who are going to exchange battles from the baseline. I think this is a close match, and I pondered doing the over 3.5 sets because I don't think that's a bad play in this one. In the over 3.5 sets, though, -175, I just don't love those odds. eye test standpoint, I think Mackie played better in his straight set win over David Goffin than Nishikori did in his four-set victory. I believe it was over Salvatore Caruso. You look of their recent results of late again. You know, both of those guys struggled post-Washington. Nishikori got a win over Kecmanovic before having to withdraw against Hurkacz. Didn't play Cincinnati for Mackie. He lost his first match in Canada to Benoit Paire, but had played a final, you know, 48 hours earlier. He then goes to Cincinnati, beats Nakashima before, you know, a respectable loss to Daniil Medvedev. I just think Mackie's the better player right now. I think his serve has a little more juice. I think he's the more dynamic mover over the course of three to five sets. Again, I think both of these guys are going to have streaks of excellence where both, you know, they're shot makers and their shots are just going to be landing aggressive from the baseline. Again, it's really fun because they both have very similar styles of play. And Mackie's talked openly, you can hear him talk about it on our Cracked Interviews podcast, about the influence Nishikori has had from a game style perspective in his career. But I just think Mackie surpassed him right now. And I'm not throwing a lot on it, only a quarter of a unit. Let's not get crazy here. But I'm going to ride the Mackie train. Give me Mackie plus 125 tomorrow over Kei Nishikori, 0.25 units again to win 0.31. The other American underdog I like, Stevie Johnson over Gael Monfils. Now, Stevie's plus 205 tomorrow against Gael. You look for Gael Monfils here in 2021, 8-12 overall. You look for Monfils, he's 4-4 against the top 50. You look for him against the top 20 over that span of time. I believe he's 1-2. Now, obviously, Stevie J, closer to, certainly not a top 20 player, he's more of a top 50 guy right now, but you look for, you know, Gael Monfils outside of his run in Canada where he beats Millman, beats Tiafoe before bowing out to Isner, then in Cincy he beats the Deuce, beats Demon Hour before a really fun two tiebreaker match against Andrei Rublev. Outside of that, it was a struggle for him this season. Again, you take that 4-2 out of his record, he's 4-10 in all of his other events. You take out his win against Coria earlier in this event, 3-10 overall in the non-Canada Cincy swing coming into this North American stretch. Now, maybe he has found a little bit of extra juice, but you look for Gael Monfils here this season. His hold percentage, 76.7, 4% below his career average. Break percentage is 3% below his career average. First serve win percentage, second serve win percentage. Everything from the metric standpoint is down right now. Stevie J is starting to play better tennis of late. And you look for him here in the North American hardcourt stretch. Again, he's done it a little bit longer than Gael Monfils. And I think against a similar level of competition, you look for Stevie, quarterfinals in Los Cabos. You know, two pretty easy wins there before bowing out to Fritz. He then beats Popperin before losing to Fritz again in Atlanta. Beats Ramanathan, Demon Hour, Berankis before losing to Sinner in the City Open. Loses to Anderson in qualifying. Beats Marter, tricky four-set match at the U.S. Open. You look for Stevie in his, for him, though, at the Slams this year. Third round, French Open. Second round, Wimbledon. He's just been rock solid. You look at that French Open loss, you look at the Wimbledon loss for him. It was a five-set loss to Taylor Fritz. He was right there in that match. I just think Stevie's playing good ball. The numbers suggest so right now as well. You look at his break percentage, 18.6%. That would be a new career high for him. Ace percentage, 10.5%. That's above his career average. He's winning 74.1% of his first serve points. That's right around his career average. Second serve is up 0.4% as well. He's just refound his inspiration. He's fit again. He's enjoying playing in front of crowds. And, you know, fun data point on this match. Yes, Stevie's 0-3 against Gael, but all three of their matches have gone three sets. I just think these two bring out the best in each other because, A, Gael will give Stevie time to dictate in the center of the court, but then, B, Gael's going to have opportunities to do incredible things in the outer third, and Stevie is a sneaky good athlete in that outer third as well. So, you know, again, shot-making will be on display in this match. Only of a quarter of a unit, but from an eye test perspective, I just think Stevie's playing better than Gael right now. So give me Stevie plus 205, metrics fairly even across the board, 0.25 units to win 0.51. Those are your money line picks. Now, let's get to the over-unders and the spreads. Two spreads for you all today. Samsonova, -3 games over Hrietmannen, -120 odds. That is far too low. You just look at the numbers for these two players. Ludmila Samsonova here this season, 30-17 overall, 10-1 on grass courts, 14-7 on hard courts. You look for her here this season. She's 22-9 against players ranked outside the top 50. You look for her against players ranked, outside the top 100, 13-7. Again, she's beaten that level of competition. She's also this year against top 50 opponents, 8-8 overall. She's just displayed, you know, she's found some consistency because she's always had top level power dating back to her years as a top junior, but she's reined that in. And you look for her since the start of the grass court season for Ludmila Samsonova here in 2021. Obviously, she wins the title in Berlin, follows that up with a fourth round in at Wimbledon before getting knocked out by Pliskova in Montreal. Beats Rybakina in 3 sets before getting knocked out by Cerebes Tormo. No shame in that. Good wins for her over Zvonareva and Blinkova before getting knocked out in the first round by Azarenka in Cincinnati, but she did qualify for that event. Straight set win for her over the always tricky Katie Bolter. On the flip side, you look for Hrietmannen here this season. Yes, she is 30-19 overall, 19-11 on hard courts, but you break down those splits, she's 3-9 against players ranked inside the top 100, 14-29 in her career against top 100 opponents. That sort of power level is where, you know, again, that has been the threshold for the outer bounds of her game. And, you know, again, you look for her of late, it's losses to players like Kvitova a couple of times and, you know, the Rebecca Pettersons, Victoria Golubics of the world who've got that power from the baseline that can overwhelm Hrietmannen. And I think you look for her tomorrow. I think Samsonova's got that sort of firepower. I think Samsonova's firing right now. She's extraordinarily confident. Hrietmannen, of course, will have enjoyed getting that lucky loser, getting that first round victory, but I just think there's an urgency for Samsonova right now to get inside the top 50, make, you know, put herself in competition to make second weeks for Grand Slams. I'm not saying Hrietmannen doesn't have that sort of urgency. I just think Samsonova is going to have her foot on the gas pedal from start to finish, as she always does in these sorts of matches, in every match she plays. And as such, -3 games against Minnen tomorrow, I just think that's too low. I haven't seen enough from Hrietmannen that she's going to have the sort of weapons to hurt Samsonova, to stretch Samsonova to the outer thirds, make this match not be on Samsonova's racket. You know, a 3-game spread, she has to win 5-5 or 6-5, and you know, 5-5 she covers, or 4-4 she covers, or 5-3, 6-3, 6-5. It's just, you know, 6-5 pushes. And so I think getting that 3-game spread, that's too small a number. I think Ludmila Samsonova, her power just too much for Hrietmannen tomorrow. I think she advanced comfortably, -120. We're going to throw a full unit on that to win 0.82. The other spread I really enjoy tomorrow, Riley Opelka, -4.5 games over Lorenzo Musetti. I said it in the preview podcast for the 2021 U.S. Open. We know early on how locked in Riley is at this event. Of course, he's coming off of the final in Canada. I thought he looked good, a win over Corentin Moutet before a scrappy 3-set loss to Casper Ruud at the Western Southern Open, and to follow up the final by playing 2 3-set matches that showed how committed he was mentally to that tournament in Cincy, because that's always the question for Riley. How locked in is he? Was locked in from start to finish in a straight set win over Sun Wukwan in his first round match. You look for Riley. He is holding 89.2% of the time. That number is good for a top 4 clip, trailing just Raonic, Isner, and Berrettini on the ATP Tour. He's also gotten better as a returner, just puts more returns in play, a more dynamic mover, more comfortable at the net. I think his serve plus one combos, his serving and volleying, his willingness, improved willingness, to move forward will give a guy in Lorenzo Musetti, who's most comfortable 15 feet behind the baseline, fits on this surface. And you look for Musetti, who coming into this event had lost 6 consecutive matches dating back to his Roland Garros round of 16 loss to Novak Djokovic. His win over Emilio Nava, yes, he competed well. Yes, he kept the ball in play, but that had a lot to do with the inconsistent performance of Nava, who just too many unforced errors on the day. He was the all-back fence team, all-tarp team, as we used to call it. Not that Musetti wasn't crafty, and again, forced a lot of those errors, got Nava stretched to the outer third, but I just think Riley's going to have slim pickings. I think he's going to get to take big cuts on second serves for Lorenzo Musetti. And you look for Musetti here this season, you know, even though he makes 70% of his serves, both serves are attackable. It's a very kicked-based, placement-based serve to set up his first shot. And, you know, Riley mucks up your plans because he goes big on those returns. I just think Riley will get at least one break of serve in this match. And if he wins, you know, 3-6-6, or he gets two breaks of serve, and wins 4-5-6, you cover in this instance. So I like the -4.5 game spread here. I like the idea. Let's say he even loses one of those breakers. Well, he gets the breaks back. He wins, let's say, 4-4-5. Well, you still cover there, even if he, you know, loses a, you know, or I suppose actually at that point, good math. Well, no, you still do cover there, because if he loses, you know, 7-5-6-7, 7-5-7-5, that's five games. So I like the -120 for Opelka, one unit to win 0.83. Those are the two spreads I like on the day. You know, there are a couple others I have my eye on, over-unders as well. I think Anisimova-Pliskova is just going to be a hard-hitting match. Won't shock me if that match goes 3. I already talked about Kontaveit-Teichmann and Tomjanovic-Martic. Rodgers-Kristea could absolutely go the distance. Zhang, Raducanu, Sakkari-Siniakova. But keep your eye on Barty Tausson. +320, over 2.5 sets. The power of Tausson, just relentless with her strike. If she catches fire for, say, 20 minutes, it's interesting. +6.5 games for Tausson is interesting. Tomjanovic -1 game if you think she's going to win. Bencic -5.5 games, -165. We'll get to Bianca Andreescu in a second, the last one. Bedosa -5 games. I think all of those are interesting on the men's side. You know, Berrettini over Moutet -6.5 games, so it's tempting. Honestly, Zverev -8.5 games over Ramos Vinolas is -160. I don't hate. Fritz Brooksby over 3.5 sets -180. You're telling me those guys are going to let one or the other win in straight sets? I don't think so. You know, Nishikori McDonald -175, Johnson Monfils -160. Those are the over-unders, the spreads I have my eyes on. Again, to see the full list of them, head on over to our website, crackedrackets.com. But last, but certainly not least, it would not be an Ace of the Day segment if I didn't get into my parlays with that in mind. Here are the two I'm going with today. Andreescu -370 over Lauren Davis. What is Lauren Davis going to do to hurt Bianca Andreescu over the course of 3 hours? If Andreescu can survive the storm that was last night's match against Victoria Golubic, I think she looked fine physically. I think she comes out striking the ball cleanly. I think her serve gives Davis all sorts of fits. I think she's going to get clean looks on the return of serve as well. I like Andreescu tomorrow. The opposite is true for Sarah Cerebez-Tormo. I just don't think the variety of Sue AC is going to hurt her. And if you can't hurt Cerebez-Tormo, you're not going to beat her in the track meet. That match might be a 2-2 match that takes 2 hours or 3 hours. But give me Cerebez-Tormo -240 over Sue. And then give me Riley. I'll take him on the money line as well, -400 over Musetti. If he doesn't cover, we perhaps get to double up or hedge our bets here for him to just win the match. You throw all three of them together, Andreescu, Cerebez-Tormo, Opelka, +120 odds. I like that parlay. We're going to throw half a unit on that to win 0.6. Also going to throw in Karatsev, who plays Jordan Thompson tomorrow. While Thompson's got the consistency, I just think Karatsev grinds him down. Like I think that's a good matchup for Karatsev. Give me him -270 over Thompson. And I'm going to take Kudla, because I think he's playing some of the best tennis of his career, over the big-serving Oscar Ota. I think, you know, again, for a guy who thrives in grass-court tennis, Dennis Kudla's fine playing first shot and, you know, first shot plus a pass sort of tennis against Ota. I'll take Kudla -200, Karatsev -270, parlay them together +105. I'm only going to throw half a unit on that, but I feel pretty good about all six of our selections here today. To recap, we're taking two underdogs: McDonald plus 125, quarter of a unit to win 0.31, Johnson plus 205 over Monfils. By the way, McDonald's over Nishikori, but plus 205 for Johnson, quarter of a unit to win 0.51. We'll take Samsonova minus three games over Minin, minus 120, one unit to win 0.82. We'll take Opelka minus 4.5 games over Musetti, minus 120, one unit to win 0.83. Our parlays: Andrescu, Cerebes Tormo, Opelka moneyline parlay plus 120, 0.5 units to win 0.6. We'll also take Karatsev and Kudla plus 105, half a unit to win 0.52. Those are your picks for day four of the 2021 U.S. Open. As I mentioned at the top, if you're looking for recap content each and every day, head on over to our Mini Break podcast feed. We're talking about all of the matches, all of the biggest storylines from the action in New York. Of course, if you need the more immediate coverage, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, we are at Cracked Rackets. You want to message me directly with your own picks, your own tips, your own best beats or best wins or worst beats, I am at Great Shot Pod. Of course, like, rate, subscribe, review to this show, the Mini Break podcast, our Cracked Interviews podcast, and all of our CR content. If you need the more immediate updates, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, I already said all this, so I will simply say a shout out to our super producers, Max Fligner and Daniel Westhoff, for the of an editing job they do day in, day out. I'm going to ask them to leave that one in, but normally they would edit that out. So again, that's how you know they are the best in the business. A shout out as well to our friends. You guys know the deal. Tennis-point.com. Promo code is CR15. With all of that said, for super producers Fligner and Westhoff, for our friends at Tennis Point, from all of us here at both Cracked Rackets and the Tennis Channel Podcast Network, I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. You know what we say? May the odds be ever in your favor. And hey, great shot. We'll talk to you all tomorrow. Thanks, everyone.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com. Thank you.